You may be seated. The scripture reading before us today is the very familiar lesson of Daniel in the lion's den. And permit me a few comments of context ahead of time before the reading. This takes place roughly 500 years or so before the birth of Christ. And Daniel, at this point in his life, is now up in years, around 80. The Babylonians would often take the people they captured and utilize very talented individuals. And apparently Daniel had been one of those, even in his younger years, had been taken and put into positions of leadership in the government and of great prominence in the imperial court. And now he had risen to be one of the top three overseers, if you will, in the entire empire. And first of all, he had done so in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar, a name I always loved learning as a child. Nebuchadnezzar sounded more exciting than Don. And now in the court of King Darius the Mede, and he had been blessed with the gift of being able to interpret dreams. And apparently others now had become very envious of Daniel in this very lofty position, that he would be given such authority, being a Hebrew, being someone of a slave family. And so they had devised a plan by which they would get the king to set aside a 30-day period during which no one would be allowed to pray to any other god than the God of the king. But of course, Daniel, a faithful servant of the Lord of Scripture, continues to pray to the Lord. And we're told that he would do this while facing Jerusalem, the spot of the temple, which in essence was his messianic faith, pointing ahead to the coming Christ. The temple was, of course, the spot where the atonement would be made for his sins and for the whole world through the coming slaughter of the Lamb of God. You might say that Daniel here is one of the Christians before the name Christian is being used. And in the same way that he stands now and faces the temple as he prays to the Lord, that's very similar to how when Jesus commands us and says, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." His prayers are now ascending to the throne of God through the coming Christ. And Daniel's here willing to have his confession of Christ and his faith in the God of the Scriptures actually take his life. And he's arrested for his crime, thrown into this lion's den. And now the king is sorry that he had issued such a decree. And as we can tell in our reading, has a restless night of sleep because of it. And he now feels compelled to enforce that punishment as Daniel is in this den and his conscience is eating him alive. And let's then get to our reading from Daniel chapter 6. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. Thus far the reading. Now, when we hear texts like this and these wonderful stories of deliverance that involve the angels, we often wonder, how often has the Lord, in my life, used the work of his angels, these special ministering spirits sent to help us, how often has he used them in our lives in order to protect us and defend us? Times when we weren't aware of it. Maybe times when we attributed it to something we did, or something that we thought was by our own devices that helped us to avoid some difficulty or tragedy. Or maybe we attribute it, sadly, to luck or just to chance. And yet, to find out that it was the Lord behind all of this, working even through these special messengers. Those who are focused on Christ by faith, who've been given the gift of faith to trust in him as their Savior, as was Daniel, and those who cling to his word, as we see here with Daniel, the scriptures remind us continually that the Lord's eye is always on them, watching everything they do and knowing what's best for them, even when we may think otherwise for ourselves. And he guides and directs his angels to take care of us in the way that is ultimately then in keeping with his will. Now what about, let's go into the New Testament era. What about Stephen, the first martyr, Stephen? Why is it that in his case, there are a lot of similarities, he likewise was focused on Christ and wanted to make a confession of him, loved God and his word and so on, was arrested because of his faithfulness and was about to be put to death, and yet in his case, the Lord allows the rocks and the blows of those stones to end his life. Well, we must remember that this likewise was in keeping with the good and gracious will of God. Imagine, if you would, for just a moment, to make the point. Imagine that someday, when you, by God's grace, arrive in heaven, and you are allowed to sit in a nice chair and to watch two movie screens in front of you. On one movie screen is your life played out the way you maybe would have decided to have had it played out. And on the other movie screen is your life the way the Lord had it play out according to his will, even with all of its tragedy and difficulty and problems. And he also permits you to see how his angels were involved in all of this. Upon watching that second screen, you would recognize now in heaven God's extreme wisdom, that this very process by which he took you through life kept you penitent of your sins, kept you holding on to his grace in Christ your Savior, in whom you have full forgiveness, and kept you focused ultimately on your eternal home rather than on all the good things you may have been able to enjoy in this life. A theologian by the name of Werner Franzmann says this: "A gracious God and Father either averts harm and danger from us believers, or he makes the harm and even death serve for our lasting good and our eternal welfare or that of others." What a joy it will be in heaven to discover and to see how the Lord did all of this, and how his angels served us, both when they got in the way of evil for us, and when they, by God's decree, even stepped out of the way and permitted evil to hit us in a certain way. We are going to pray in a few moments, "Thy will be done." And how grateful we will be eternally to God in heaven for how his will played out in our day-to-day lives, even through these instruments of his angels. "I walk with angels all the way. They shield me and befriend me. All Satan's power is held at bay when heavenly hosts attend me. They are my sure defense, all fear and sorrow hence. Unharmed by foes, do what they may, I walk with angels all the way." Amen. Please rise for prayer. This morning we received the sad news that the husband of one of our co-workers, Glenda Basso's husband, Rick, passed away very suddenly at the age 55 of a blood clot. And let us keep her in our prayers. Lord God, Heavenly Father, with heavy hearts we come before you on behalf of your dear child, Glenda. Be with her and comfort her in this time of such sudden loss and grief. We thank you for the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, which you had so graciously revealed to her husband, Rick. May the gracious promises of your saving word and the glorious reunion of your saints in heaven provide comfort for all those who now mourn his passing. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who has also taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.
Thanks, Chaplain, for your message, and thank you, choir, for edifying our worship. My name is Matt Bamer, and I have the privilege of serving as the student body president here this academic year. And on behalf of all our students, we'd like to welcome you to our campus. It really is no coincidence that we begin our day here, and you begin your visit here in the Trinity Chapel, hearing about the one thing needful. Daily Chapel is just one of the many blessings we have here on our campus, and while it is one of the most important, we truly are surrounded by many others. Many of these blessings are thanks to you, your caring and thoughtfulness, your generosity and hard work. You've helped our school and students through various special projects and scholarships, and for that we're truly thankful. You've helped us in a very significant way, and we're very grateful to have you as a blessing to our campus as well. We're honored to host you today, and I hope you find your day to be very enjoyable. If you have any questions at all while you're on our campus, please don't hesitate to contact any Bethany student. Next on your agenda, you'll be heading to Hunzie Hall to hear from President Bruss. And if you'd like to remain seated after the students are dismissed, Lance Swartz will lead you over there. Thanks again for all you do, and please enjoy your day.